Well, welcome to me. Hopefully everybody's doing fantastically well. Thursday morning, Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. And I have episode 59 here today with David McNaughton, who is a chiropractor, academic, and teacher. And we're going to be chatting all about understanding the mind-body relationship and empowering the community towards a more active lifestyle. So for anybody who doesn't know David, David McNaughton is the owner of DMC Health and Wellness. He is a chiropractor, academic, and teacher. David's week consists of clinical practice at his Sydney clinic, researching at Macquarie University in the Department of Psychology, and teaching undergraduate psychology and chiropractic students. David's clinical and research interests focus on persistent physical symptoms and their effect on psychological well-being. David's work aims to understand how the mind and body interact in an effort to develop and improve available treatments for sufferers of these symptoms. So David, welcome. How are you doing this morning?
Very well. Thank you very much, Darren, for having me on today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure, mate. I'm always fascinated in the mind-body connection, and you know, this stuff's been around for years and people have been studying this for years, but maybe before we get into that, tell us a bit about you that we don't really know from the intro.
Yeah, well, so chiropractor, teacher, that. I have a 11-month-old Dalmatian, which keeps me very busy at home.
Fantastic.
So if I have to run out the door every now and then, just with her crying at the door, she wants to come in. No. So I love getting out playing golf as much as I can. It's been pretty hard lately with everything to get out. But
absolutely.
And I love traveling. It's probably one of the main reasons why I kind of pushed into research a little bit. There's a lot of opportunities to travel a little bit more for conferences and stuff like that. But any opportunity I get to travel, I
absolutely. Yeah, me too. I love to travel as well. Yeah. But right now we're kind of traveling virtually in a way, aren't we?
Yes, you know, somewhat, but not forever. It won't be forever.
Absolutely right. Excellent, mate. Now you're a busy guy. I mean, you're doing a lot of things at the same time.
Yes.
How do you juggle it all? You must be a good time manager.
I've learned that's an important aspect of it all. Yeah. Definitely with the business, you're just going to make sure that's running, and you know, I'd like to think of swings and roundabouts. So some things, you know, take a little bit more time and then you've got to come back to the other ones, but try and be productive with everything. So, you know, I've always wanted to be one of those people that enjoys being busy and enjoys having things on. And there's always a goal that needs to be kind of met. And these are all, at the moment, it's just all the goals are kind of getting to the final part of everything. So, but yeah, they're busy weeks, but I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest. Yeah,
I'm the same. I mean, I do a few different things and I just love the variety. We were chatting just before we started how we both love the variety of doing a few different things, and it just makes the week more interesting. But as you say, definitely, there's always a common goal. There's always a strategy that we're aiming towards, and correct, it's nice to go on that journey and see those goals be, you know, becoming fruitful at the end.
Exactly. It is.
I thought let's jump in. I mean, I can't wait to get into this content.
Yeah.
Obviously, the mind-body relationship has been an area of research for centuries, probably.
Correct.
How have you developed over the years, and where are we now with it?
Yeah, you're totally right. All the way back, you know, Hippocrates type stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding, you know, the gut is a form of stress type thing. And so this stuff has been around for quite some time. We've moved, especially in the last century, we've moved a lot further with things, and that's really just with our technology's gotten better.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, a lot of these things prior were very much theories and hypotheses, and now we're actually able to test this sort of stuff in a manner that we've never been able to do before. Stuff from genome testing and functional MRIs, so we can actually see what's happening in the brain when people are exposed to things. And it's more about not necessarily the structure of the brain. We can see that in dissections for a long time, but looking at the function, looking at where the connections are happening, where the changes are happening when people experience happiness, sad, pain, fatigue, that kind of stuff.
Looking at where those changes happen in the brain.
In the brain, looking at how things change in different people, and correlating that with a whole range of things as well. So it's a really exciting area to be a part of, to be honest. it's still not, you know, it's still not, you know, a research priority for a lot of things. These syndromes and these disorders are very much just in the background. But definitely there's a lot of exciting opportunities coming up in this research, and my PhD as well. It's my PhD, so I think it's awesome. So definitely trying to understand these connections between the body and the mind is really exciting. And hopefully we can target treatments better when we understand that a bit more.
In other words, we'll start maybe treating the mind more than the body in a way.
It'll be both, I reckon. I think where we're at now is it's very much a bi-directional relationship. It's right. Very much, you know, one will always influence the other.
Yep.
And in different circumstances, it might be reversed as well. So understanding this connection and this quite fluid and dynamic connection between the brain and or the mind and the body will help a lot of people, really will.
Fantastic. So tell us a bit more about what you actually specialize in your clinic and how you go about that with your patients.
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously I'm trained as a chiropractor, so I'm background as a chiropractor. Very, very biomechanical, essentially. I would argue that's a lot of my training has been in looking at how the body's moving, the structure of the body, you know, are there any changes in the body and can we improve on that type thing? Yep. So a lot of my history and my assessment looks at just looks at the body, essentially, how they're moving and what's going on. My other aspect with the PhD in psychology is really kind of layered another element to all that, where I now look at the person a little bit more as well. And, you know, you look at their life history, you look at their thoughts, their beliefs, how they view the world, and all of a sudden we get this kind of layered perspective of, you know, this is the mechanics of the body, but this is actually the functioning or the executive functioning of the body as well. And we need to kind of understand both of them. Yep. So that's really where I kind of start in clinic, with just kind of getting to know that person.
Yeah.
And my treatments, I've always been a big fan of non-pharmacological, non-surgical approaches to care, essentially. Yeah. I think there's a real big place for things like massage and acupuncture and adjustments and exercise therapy to help people's symptoms, as well as just improve their well-being and give them a better quality of life, essentially. And so my therapy is really like that. It's a mixture of all those things to try and find out with the history and assessment what might be best for that person and let's get some good improvements in their life. So that's kind of a bit of a nutshell of what I do in clinic. I personally don't think it's special. I think that's just normal, because that's what the literature says is the best thing to do, and that's what I've found over the years that's worked the best as well.
And so what kind of prompted you to move into studying psychology? Was it just your interest in this area or?
Yeah, this was great. So I was at Macquarie and I did chiro, and I did well in the chiro degree, and there was an opportunity to kind of do some paid study. And I knew I wanted, chiro sometimes gets a little bit of like a bubble. Sometimes like all industries, I think, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I knew I wanted to kind of just look at things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I was always interested in mental health, and very early on in clinical practice, I noticed that there was a big part of mental health in people's experience of pain and symptoms. And I'm a very curious person. You have to be a curious person to get into research.
Yep.
And I didn't really like the answers I was getting off some of my teachers some of my colleagues as well. And I was like, what? That can't be. Really? So that kind of really prompted me to kind of go out and just kind of throw myself into deep end. And I ended up linking up with an amazing professor in the psychology department who's
fantastic.
And we work really well together. And I've got like a really good little team of, you know, pain scientists, psychologists. I work a lot with gastroenterologists. We do some brain gut type work.
Oh my God.
And statistics as well. So it's this mixture of research methods and clinical science, essentially. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it was a interesting part. I never thought I would get into this research, let alone psychology. And I've loved it ever since. It's been tough, but, you know, running a business and doing a PhD is somewhat tough, but, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
I mean, I've always been fascinated by psychology and how humans interact and how they behave. And for any, you know, medical practitioner, particularly, or health practitioner that works in on the physical side of things, to have an understanding of psychology as well and how the mental side of things is working behind the scenes must be incredibly powerful for you to really be able to holistically treat your patients.
And that's the whole idea. That's, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. It really, as I said, I was very trained very biomechanically, and, you know, we still understood that these were present. Like, we didn't kind of just ignore it. We knew that this stuff was there. But, you know, the more I get into the theory behind why people do what they do, and, you know, what are the mechanisms going on in people's brains and that connections in the body, you know,
what's holding you back from doing things maybe, or doing even the exercises or whatever.
And, you know, even that, there's a lot of research just on the fear of moving and the fear of exercise after an injury. And there's a whole range. And psychologists have been doing this for a long time. And all of a sudden I start to get these answers that I've been looking for. And it's really given me a layered approach to, you know, how I through my history and my assessment and my treatments, but also just how I, you know, appreciate people's position a little bit more. And you can really understand that sometimes people get a bit stuck. It's not necessarily their fault or anything like that. It's due to a number of things, and my job as a clinician a lot of the time is really just to kind of guide them out of that and get them back to a better quality of life.
Fantastic. So, I mean, here's a question that I've always been fascinated by, and I still don't know myself, and hopefully it'll be of value to the listeners and the audience as well. What is the exact difference between a physio and a chiro? You probably get this all the time.
I still have conversations with physio friends about this sort of stuff. My personal opinion on this is it's really not a lot. To be honest. I know physios that I treat very similar to.
Oh, really?
I know chiros that I treat very differently to.
Okay.
So it's what I kind of say these days about that question is just like, find a practitioner that you get along with and that you get results with.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it doesn't really matter. The body, the science of the body doesn't really change between professions. You know, we're all learning the same things. We may have a different opinion here and there about how things might change. But we're all looking at the same research. We're all guided by the same evidence base.
Yeah.
As I said, find someone you get along with, find someone you get results with. It doesn't really matter if that's an osteo, that's a chiro, that's a physio, it's a doctor, or it's a psychologist. They're going to, you know, the right person will help you at the right time.
Will help you on your journey. I always thought that maybe chiros do more, you know, cracking and physios do more massaging. Is that, or it's really a bit of both now?
You know, as I said, this is where it came to. I know a lot of physios that do a lot of manual therapy as well.
Okay.
And stuff. And they've got a whole kind of postgraduate kind of training course on that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So, If I was really going to get, I think there has been some research done on like exact differences with treatments.
Yeah.
Chiro historically has been a bit more hands-on in terms of therapy, a bit more kind of, you know, integrating massage and adjustments. And I'm quite a hands-on practitioner. My consults are, you know, they're half an hour essentially. So it's really doing quite a lot of manual tasks. Whereas maybe historically some physio is a bit more hands-off, a bit more exercise-based.
I see. So physio might consult with you and then give you a series of exercises to do, whereas a chiro might actually spend a bit more time working on the area.
Potentially.
In the end,
I still do a lot of exercise rehab as well, because it's really important. That stuff, it's all quite important.
Okay.
So,
fantastic.
My personal thing is find someone that does a little bit of everything,
and
that way you're more likely to get a result, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yep, makes perfect sense. Okay, lovely. So, mate, tell us a bit about your corporate work, because I understand that you do a bit of clinical corporate programs as well. What do you do actually in that?
So this has been an exciting opportunity that's really sprung out of COVID-19, to be honest. So, you know, we're always looking for opportunities at times like that, and it really came off a reflection of what was going on in clinic, where I noticed a lot of people coming in with a lot of neck and back complaints from home office setups. And historically, over the past years, there's been a lot of investment in the workspace to kind of get people set up ergonomically, you know, limit, you know, neck and back and repetitive strain claims in, you know, for work cover. And I feel like that just all got thrown out the window with the last 3 months. So what I've been doing and getting out there is just offering businesses and corporates essentially a consulting package essentially for their employees. You can get templates just off work cover, just being like, it's like a checklist. This is what your setup should be. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. But what I'm offering is a bit more personalized treatment for that, for the worker, at the same time, getting them compliant with all their work health and safety measures. As because a lot of businesses might not understand that they're actually still liable for their workers, even if they're working from home.
You know,
If they're injured in that space, they really need to make sure that they're kind of covered from that risk. And right now it's not too bad, you know, because everyone was kind of thrown into this and the government said you can't go to work and you can't do this.
Yeah, so it's still a green field at the moment.
Yeah, but over the next month or two, we're moving into a stage where businesses are having to make a decision. And the consensus, I think, in the workforce is not everyone is saying, I want to go back full time. And not everyone is saying, I want to work from home full time.
Yeah.
So there's going to be this balance a little bit more, which was never there, of people some days working from home and some days working in the office. And for employers, that's when they become even more liable because they've actually made that choice now to allow them to work from home. So the corporate kind of consulting is really built around that, is really built around, you know, if we want to kind of mitigate that risk for the employers, let's, you know, have a consult. It can all be done over telehealth as well. I don't need to be there, over telehealth or over Zoom. Let's see how your setup is. Let's do a bit of a history. We can do some quite reliable assessments on people if they have pre-existing stuff, and we can actually put together a more personalized plan for them. And then review as well. So that's the, it's like an exciting little opportunity that I'm actually on hitting the ground.
So when do you sleep?
I sleep.
You've got a lot of stuff happening on your plate at the moment.
As I said, it's about balance. It's a swings and roundabouts, as I said. So sometimes some things take a bit more of a priority and other times. But definitely, definitely they're busy weeks. But as I said, I enjoy a busy week. But I always say, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. So that's...
I like that. Now, I'd love to hear, I always ask everybody about some case studies and examples because people love hearing stories, real life stories about success stories, really. So I'm wondering if you have any...
I'm more than happy to tell you all the success stories.
Maybe give us a few success stories of how you've really helped people with your understanding as well of mind-body connection.
Definitely. So predominantly what I treat is neck and back pain. You know, that's my majority of my caseload is back pain, predominantly neck pain and headache, and then shoulder pain. I still do a lot of other things, but that's really what I see a lot of the time. So people present to me with that. They don't necessarily present with anxiety or stress or that kind of stuff. But once we get into things, we notice that that's quite an important factor in why they're experiencing that at that point in time. Especially when we get into what we call persistent pain or persistent symptoms, where the definition of persistent symptoms is where the tissue or the damaged structure, you know, if it's a disc or if it's a muscle or a ligament or something, it should have healed by now. So, you know, we're getting symptoms beyond the normal healing time. And this is chronic pain, essentially. This is what people struggle with. And one in five Australians will experience chronic and persistent pain. It costs a hell of a lot of money and it's the number one cause of global burden, years lost with disability. It's huge, mate. You know,
so the majority of chronic pain actually manifests even after the healing has finished.
Well, that's the definition of
chronic. That's the definition of chronic pain. I thought you could still have chronic pain. You just have a chronic issue that's not healed.
Some you can get the, you know, this we get into a little bit more nuances with this sort of stuff where some have chronic diseases essentially, but that's due to can be due to chronic inflammatory disorders like ankylosing arthritis, and, yep. and yep. there's a number of these kind of more genetic disorders, which, you know, the immune system and the body's kind of attacking itself a little bit. Yep. But we also get pain, which is, it should have healed. You know, people have an accident and, or they just have a minor trauma and it should have healed in about 3 days.
Fascinating. Okay. Interesting. I never knew that.
And this is really my research perspective as well. I look at what we call functional or unexplained symptoms, where contemporary medicine can't really describe an organic cause for this sort of stuff. And it's very common, this sort of thing.
Wow.
So when we, and usually this is when the mind-body relationship becomes even more important. This is where it really, really, we start to tackle things. So there's a number of cases where I've had patients come in with back pain, and you know, it's been from what you would consider. There's been existing surgeries on the back, so the mechanics have changed.
Yep.
You know, there's might be some metabolic stuff. So she was actually a little bit obese and a bit overweight, which, you know, obviously puts strain and inflammatory change in the body.
Yeah.
But also what was going on, she had an incredible amount of stress in her life, like in terms of work stress and a social network stress. And she just wasn't coping with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my job really in this was to kind of, one, make it apparent that like, this is an issue and, you know, symptoms potentially won't just go away until we address this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's when, in many cases, we can, if we need, we can get, you know, external help from a GP or a psychologist as well to kind of target some of those areas that are not, you know, pain linked or they're not pain specific. Whereas I can talk about when she says, you know, it's really getting me down type of thing. You know, this is depression and pain go hand in hand. And, you know, explaining that that's okay. Like it's completely reasonable to feel it's like that.
Normal response.
It's a normal response. And, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to avoid that feeling. So this is a really kind of, we're getting to this understanding of your thoughts and your feelings around the pain itself. And once we can change some of that sort of stuff, we can actually change the symptoms. There's a lot of research on that and a lot of good research just about, if you change your thought patterns and you change your thinking around pain, you can reduce your pain. And we see that quite often in, it's the basis for psychological therapy.
So it's really pain, but it's psychosomatic in a way.
Correct.
It's brought on by our mind.
Not brought on. I think it's more related and and related with. So a lot of the time I try to have, we have pain and symptoms. And on top of it, we have distress that goes with it. And what we try to do with therapy is we try to kind of tease those two things apart. Because in the beginning, it's the same. I'm distressed because I have pain.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I understand. But let's tease these things apart. There's some things we can do for the actual symptoms and the actual, you know, cause of the pain. And there's some things we can do for the distress associated.
Okay.
You know, and that's really how I try and work with people. And a number of cases we... you know, I can do it with them. Sometimes we need to refer out for more help because the distress might be from their relationship or with their partner or they're at work or, you know, some longstanding family issues. And you know, that's really not my, I'm the first to one say when something's outside my scope. Yeah. So that's a really, really good way, but that still needs to be addressed with people.
Gotcha. And you can at least inform them that that should be addressed and that will help them in other areas.
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's a number of cases where we reduce stress in one aspect of someone's life and there's other improvements in their other parts of their life and people experience that quite a lot of the time.
Amazing.
But yeah, when there's pain, it just becomes a little bit more confusing and people lose, a lot of research to show that people lose the ability to problem solve, and problem solving is a really important evolutionary aspect of us being humans try and move forward or move past issues essentially. But, you know, and we can see stuff in the brain where pain actually takes up more space and there's, you know, there's a lot more connections with emotions. So it's difficult to actually get to the cause of issues. You're very emotionally reactive to things.
That's right. And I suppose the more pain you experience, the more tangled up you get in your emotions. And then it's hard for someone like you to start removing and unbundling and making sense of what's what.
Exactly. And that's exactly right. Especially as it goes on for longer as well.
It all just falls into one big mess. Yeah.
that comes into a thing of neuroplasticity and an aspect of learning as well. So when you experience pain for so long, the body gets good at experiencing pain and will actually change. The nervous system will kind of adapt or change to a way that allows you to experience more pain. It's, you know, I talk about the way we can cope can be adaptive, but it also can be maladaptive.
Yep.
And the way the body can cope with physical symptoms can be adaptive, but it also can be maladaptive.
Yeah.
And it's really about picking up where things are getting unstuck and then kind of gearing them on the right path a bit more.
Wow, mate, that's just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely fascinating. And if people want to get in touch with you to actually work with you or to even work with you on some research, what are some of the best ways for them to do it?
Mate, email is always good. I'm always on my computer. So david@dmchealth.com.au. My website is up, dmchealth.com.au. And also social media, Dave the Chiro, even Facebook, DMC Health and Wellness. Always looking and exciting to work with people with research as well. We've got a great team at Macquarie, which do some really, really awesome stuff. And I've just started this international kind of collaboration with a bunch of chiropractic researchers from all around the world. And we've got a lot of really good, we're actually trying to get together some multinational projects and really do some good stuff, essentially. So a lot of exciting opportunities in the next 6 to 12 months. And hopefully I'm not too busy to drop the ball at anyone. So
outstanding. And I'm looking forward to seeing how your evolution continues and your research continues into the mind-body relationship. Yeah, when will your thesis or your PhD be finished?
Well, I was meant to finish at the end of this year or beginning in early next year. Yeah. And I think I had one more project that I needed to do. It was an experimental project, which unfortunately was incorporates face-to-face testing. So I've had to put all that on hold with everything for now. But hopefully, you know, if everything keeps going outside with COVID-19 and we get case numbers down, potentially next semester I'll be able to, or August, I should be able to start testing a bit more. So it should only push me back another 6 months or so. But well and truly at the tail end of things and starting to really collate all the papers and the projects and submit essentially very soon. It needs to be done. It's been a large proportion of my life.
Well, I'm sure you'll be really looking forward to when that started. I wish you the best of luck with that as well, mate. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. And now last thing, I really appreciate you coming on the show and I've learned a hell of a lot, even just in terms of simplifying where we might need to help ourselves address certain things, because when you simplify and understand what's happening, you can start making better decisions as to how to treat them. So that's been really fascinating to me. And I always like to ask the guests to leave our viewers and our audience with one or two tips that they might be able to implement. Way might just be how they perceive things, how they think about things, might be how they actually treat certain things. So what's on your mind at the moment, and what do you think can help people?
I'm always, I'm always one for a good broad general health advice. exercise, stay social, talk to your family and friends, eat a well-balanced diet, and if you need help, seek help type thing, to start with, keep things very, as you said, keep things very simple and just doing those things like getting a good night's sleep will have profound effects on your health and your well-being. Tailored and specific stuff and I'm not saying, and a lot of people do need help, I'm for one, I need help sometimes, and having more professional advice to kind of guide you through that stuff is to be what I call a catalyst for change. So it just kind of gets you going a little bit more, kickstarts things.
Fantastic, very good advice. And I also love the advice you gave earlier, which was just find someone that you can trust and someone that you get along with and you feel comfortable with, and start the process there. That might not be the end. They might be able to refer you to other people, but at least start with someone that you trust and you feel comfortable with, and that will help you on that journey.
Yeah, it really, if you're starting at that, you can't really go much wrong from there.
Yeah, fantastic. It's a good place. Excellent. Well, David, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been an absolutely fascinating chat. And for all the audience, I'm going to leave all the links in the show notes for how you can contact David for his various busy activities and schedule. And mate, I wish you all the very best and everything.
And pleasure.
Thanks for coming on the show. And for all the audience out there, thank you so much for listening. another great episode, and we'll be back very, very soon. So thanks again, David.